This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stefan Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that!
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? It's the warm-up episode 139. It's your host, Brady Frost, and the second tier's Justin Peach joins me. Justin, how are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, Brady. Appreciate the Talking Head reference there. That was superb. Lovely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we talked about the Stop Making Sense when it came out back, October, I think?
Yeah, it doesn't feel too long ago. Yeah, I ended up going through your recommendation, so can't thank you enough. But yeah, just fell deeper in love with Talking Heads, as should everybody. As should everybody.
Exactly. In fact, you know, if you've not got any plans after this podcast, go listen to Stop Making Sense live, you know, because Talking Heads need a plug from us, obviously. But yeah, no, it's good. I mean, you may hear or you may see if you're watching on YouTube that Tom Bradshaw is not with us. Well, don't worry, we've not had a falling out. He is in Budapest working on an exclusive job that he can't tell me about. So it sounds a lot more exciting than, as you probably see, me on YouTube, who's a very sweaty mess after being trying to squeeze a run in as part of marathon training. So there we go. But let's get into this one, shall we, Justin, because we're on a bit of a deadline and, you know, it's a bit bleak for town. So we're going to spend the next, you know, 30 minutes or so talking about hopefully a game that Town could win quite easily. So let's get stuck in, because Andre Brighton, right, he has suffered back-to-back defeats last week as Town head coach. However, we do have that crucial game coming up away to a rotten Rotherham side. They've not won since Boxing Day, beating Middlesbrough 1-0, and they've lost 9 games in a row. They also have the worst home record in the league. And as Stephen Chicken from his We Are Terriers Substack pointed out, it might not be the easiest game because the Millers have conceded the fewer home goals this season than 9 other sides, which include second place Ipswich and sixth place Southampton. So, Justin, it has been a bit of a rough week for Town fans. I think particularly the defeat to West Brom against Carlos Corbran, who we will mention a little bit later. But is this the perfect fixture for Huddersfield to try and bounce back?
Oh, wow. That's a great one. I mean, the optimist in me says, yes, it's perfect. You're coming up against a team who have lost back-to-back final defeats, haven't they? They're going to be open, or you're going to suspect that. But usually what happens after a couple of heavy defeats is a team completely shuts up shop and they become so difficult to break down. We always see it after a team wins 8-0. They sort of either get a draw in the next game or they scrape a win, a really gritty, horrible, dirty win. That's what they do. Is, you know, I remember listening to Gary Rowett podcast actually, and he said when teams have a heavy defeat, you literally all you work on is your defensive shape. That's all you do. And I imagine Rotherham are going to do that. That being said, they've been pretty useless all season. They've been pretty poor all season. So is a couple of back-to-back final defeats going to change anything? Yes and no. But as you say, they don't concede too many goals at home. They don't create too many chances either. So I think it's one of those games for Huddersfield where you know you're not going to be tested too much, but you've got to take your chances because they're not going to come too often.
And we saw that particularly in the West Brom game that Town is struggling. to have chances. I know game state and all that comes into it, but Town could have scored certainly more than the one. I mean, you mentioned Rotherham are bad. Obviously, you've covered the league on second tier. Can you kind of put that into context for us, you know, to maybe make us feel a bit better? But how bad have Rotherham been?
My goodness. My goodness. I mean, we've described them as one of the worst teams in Championship history. I think the record points low, or the lowest Championship points on record is 24, set by Rotherham. I think it was a 17-18 season or 16-17 season. Alan Stubbs was in charge for the first several games, and then Kenny Jackett came in. It was a poor year for them, and they were really, really bad. Maybe not as bad as they were then, but they're still incredibly bad, really, really bad. And I know I'm not really putting it into any context or detail, I'm just repeating the same sentence over and over again, but it is literally just the same sentence. They are a terrible, terrible team. If you look at their recruitment record in the summer, they've just signed has-been players who are injury-prone or have been injury-prone, and they're well past their sell-by date, especially at Championship level. And that's a big, big thing. If you look at previous goals that they've conceded, they get done so often by runners in behind. So you've got players like Josh Caroma and Sorbo Thomas, who's found a new lease of life over the past 8 or 9 games. They're going to fancy their chances in behind that Rotherham defence, and that's going to be a big thing. But just the amount of goals they concede that are just over and over again, the same thing, it is quite staggering. And I would go as far as to say, if they didn't have Victor Jansen in goal, one of the best goalkeepers in the division, they are so, so lucky he's still there. If he wasn't in goal, their 19 points, their measly 19 points that they've got at the moment would be so much lower because he's kept them in games. And again, if you look at results, you might look at the results and say, well, Rotherham have been in games. The scorelines haven't been too significant other than the last two over the last past couple of weeks. But they do not create anything. They do not lay gloves on opposition. They are so poor that it is a one-sided game whenever you come up against Rotherham. And Brighton Wright will be looking at this fixture and thinking, all right, it does represent some stickiness because can teams persist with this form? No. But at the same time, it's one of those games where you just have to win. You have to win it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a bit of a mixed start, maybe we should say, about Brighton, right? I was just keen to kind of get your thoughts on him because obviously, you know, good point against Leeds. I know some Leeds, dirty Leeds, weren't particularly happy with how we were putting them. And obviously a great, you know, win against Watford. I know they've not been up to much, but to come from behind to win, the only time Town have done that all season. And then, yeah, the two defeats. I mean, what have you kind of made as a neutral from Brighton that start for Huddersfield?
There have been some impressive moments. I mean, the game plan against Leeds worked. Let Leeds play in front of you. Let them do what they do. They won't hurt you in behind. And actually, I thought Huddersfield were the better team for the first 25, 30 minutes. And then Leeds sort of grew into it. And then in the second half, it was just 10 men against 11. That's how the game played out. But I thought Huddersfield were magnificent. And if they defend like that, and between now and the end of the season, they will get really good results. Wasn't quite the same against West Brom in the second half. But again, against Cardiff, I think it's quite unfortunate that you come up against Cardiff, who are just starting a really good run of form. I think that's the thing you've got to take into context. They are starting a really good moment in time, and that's a big thing. But I think with Brighton, right, what I've said on the show, on the podcast, is I think John Worthington deserves probably more credit than Brighton Wright, just because Brighton Wright has only been there for a handful of games, really small sample size. But I think the really solid foundations were laid by Worthington, that front foot, positive attitude to pressing and being in opposition faces. I think it's, you know, what John Worthington has really put down. So I think I'm still in a scenario where the jury's out on Brighton Writer for now. Still needs a few more games and the next international break, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. After that, I'll probably be able to make my mind up a little bit more about him. I mean, if you look at last season, Huddersfield, really good run of form, came after the international break. So we might see the same thing.
Well, we certainly hope so, yeah. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, we kind of heard from our podcast that the special episode we did when we spoke to fans, that he seems to start quite well. And we kind of thought we'd be onto something similar. And, you know, like I say, it's 4 games in, I think, 3 weeks, isn't it? So it's really hard to, hard to judge someone. So the international break will be interesting. I suppose that's kind of the thing that Town fans are hoping for, you know, for a Neil Warnock type, although we won't need quite the run that Warnock maybe got. Do you see that happening for Town? I mean, I know maybe putting you on the spot here, but do you think they have enough to stay up?
I think they do. What I've seen so far of them is they've got some really, really quality players. I mean, Saul Thomas is one that I really want to point out. With his quality, he's always going to be a key player, but he's been fantastic over the last five or six games, especially. And I think with his quality on delivery as well, it's always going to pay dividends. You look at Michael Helix, got probably 9 goals for the season, which is absolutely ridiculous because he's a centre-back. He shouldn't be on 9 goals for the season, but he is. But that's down to the quality delivery that Thomas puts into the box. If you've got that, in your armoury, you're in a really, really good spot. But again, I think it's that ability to be, you know, defensively sure. I mean, even under Darren Moore, you know, the goals per game that they were conceding and chances as well wasn't particularly high. It was just that bravery in terms of turning that defensive football into a little bit more forward-thinking action, which is what lacked and ultimately what cost Darren Moore his job. And if Brighton Rice can get that out of them, then yeah, I think this team can rise up. But I think now's the time to do it because how tight it is down there is quite... for a neutral, it's fantastic. But obviously for supporters of a club that's down there, it's a pretty scary time.
It certainly is. It certainly is. I suppose, peppering you with loads of questions here, but I'm not going to be offended. And let's be honest, Town, whenever we had you on this pod, Town are always at this end, apart from that, that recent season. Who would you have as your kind of bottom three at the time? Because I think, you know, that's always the argument, isn't it? If Town are staying up, then who do you see going down? I mean, we could probably put Rotherham in there. I think it's fair to say.
I was going to say, 9 games for Rotherham? There's 27 points up for grabs. That would get them to about 46. So you can't say never. Rotherham are down, let's be honest. Sheffield Wednesday, I would say, are the next team. I know a lot of people say, well, they've just won 4 games on the bounce, but they're in a position where they have to maintain their form and win another 4 games on the bounce. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you've lost a lot of games this season. Your squad's not as good as other sides. I mean, the teams that are above them, Stoke, Blackburn, Birmingham, they spent money, Millwall. They spent money last summer, decent wedges of money as well. And they've recruited really well. It just hasn't worked out for them for whatever reason. You've got QPR as well, who I think are in a much better position than the likes of yourselves and Sheffield Wednesday. So I can see them staying up. What convinces me a little bit more about Huddersfield is the fact that they've not only defied the odds over several seasons, they probably should have gone down last season if it wasn't for the godlike intervention that is Neil Warnock. It's what he brings to football. And even the previous season where it was looking pretty, pretty hairy at times, the first season under Corbrand where it was looking pretty hairy. There are certain examples there that, you know, Huddersfield should have gone down. And you might be thinking, well, this might just be the season then. But that being said, I think some of the January recruitment still need to bed in. You've got a couple of weeks off now with Brighton Wright with a new coach, which is going to be massive. And I still think the likes of Stoke and even Plymouth are probably going to enter the question again over the next few weeks because I just can't see them picking up results consistently because it's just not for whatever reason, they haven't been the right appointments.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we've been chatting about it on here and Plymouth kind of, I really like Plymouth and what they do, but they remind me a little bit, and this is probably a bit of a throwback, but kind of Blackpool in the Prem, you know, where they kind of did it's really well. And then just kind of slowly kind of, I don't know. As I say, I'm very biased and that's what I hope for. But yeah, whether it'll be the case. No, that's really interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, Justin, I'll let you catch your breath because I've peppered you with questions, but it's time to hear from the fan phone-in. So we caught up with Matt Lax from the Rotherham Fan Pod New York Talk about this game on Saturday, and here's what he had to say.
Hello, this is Tom Bradshaw, and you're listening to the fan phone-in. Hello, caller. Tell us about your team.
Difficult to say exactly what's caused the season to be a disaster. Because that's what it is. Obviously, Matt Taylor was in charge initially. Home form was decent under Matt Taylor. Nothing to write home about, but okay. But the away form was atrocious. I think we picked up 1 point while he was manager this season away from home. And that was a very, very lucky point against Southampton. He left after a 5-0 defeat at Watford. Was the right decision. It felt like the right decision at the time. We were going nowhere, especially away from home. The home form had dropped and the away form was mostly dreadful. The problem was we waited 4 weeks. We were 4 points adrift when Matt Taylor left, 8 points adrift when Liam Richardson came in. So he's starting with one hand to tie behind his back. These guys are not Liam Richardson's players, and they are playing like they aren't his players. Some absolutely abysmal performances. Nine defeats in a row, as we are at the minute. One more on Saturday would be a club record. Would equal a club record. Liam Richardson has started off okay, to be fair. He's made it much more solid. Picked up a lucky win against Borough. Drew at Middlesbrough as well, which was a really good point. Drew away at Blackburn, which is a really, really good point. Away from home, up until last week, we had improved significantly away from home. We were much more solid. Everything was more organised. Then you get two back-to-back 5-0 defeats, which I think, again, is the first time in the club's history that's happened. Embarrassing. A couple of embarrassing performances. Liam Richardson looked furious in his post-match presser. So he's obviously not happy with it. Obviously, it's 5-2 and 2-5-0 defeats. It's just an absolute shambles at the minute. The club is, from top to bottom, just seems an absolute mess. Brought in the director of football to hopefully change things, but obviously that was done partway through this season, so the damage was already done for this season. But hopefully Liam Richardson can build. I am worried that if we pick up three or four more batterings, that they're not going to be patient with him. You can't keep getting bad 5-0 every week and keep your job. Even if you're the right man for the job, you just can't keep doing that. But I think he'll be good in League One. But that remains to be seen. In terms of players to watch out for, there's not much to pick from. The only one that's really worth mentioning is Victor, the goalkeeper. He's obviously a brilliant goalkeeper. He won't be with us next season. If you're going to have a positive game, which you almost certainly will, he will be the one that sort of stands out. Who do we think is going to be relegated with those? That relegation battle is great. I'd love to be involved in that relegation battle. It looks like great fun. It's probably still going to be Wednesday and QPR. Wednesday and QPR's form picked up significantly, but it can't continue. The form that they had since the manager with playoff form, I don't think that can continue for the rest of the season. But it could be Stoke. You know, they picked up a win, but I'm not convinced about them either. Score prediction for Saturday, 3-0 Huddersfield. Can't see us picking up anything. It will be a very, very comfortable afternoon, I suspect. If you get an early goal, it could be absolutely silly again, as the last time, our last two games. If you don't beat us, you might deserve to come down League One with us, because we are absolutely atrocious at the minute. So, yeah, happy days.
Okay, so yeah, Town fans, I know it's been a bit of doom and gloom the last couple of weeks, but if you hear what Matt thinks about things, maybe we have got it a little bit better than some. There is always a team worse than you, unfortunately. But yeah, we'll probably come on to the next one, which is Kwana's question time. So this, we've talked a lot about Carlos Corberan. He says, while he's trying to scramble the jingle, let's hear it now. Very strange jingle, I saw it. I'm sure you thought, Justin. But yeah, so the question we asked, Carlos has been talked about a lot here. So we wanted to know, particularly playing him at the weekend, following the 4-1 defeat, were Town wrong to not back Carlos Corberan after the playoff final? So what I'll do is I'll read some of the listener responses and I'll get Justin's thoughts, and I'll add in my two cents too. So this was a bit of a heated one, which I thought it would be. So we'll read them. Mark Harrison, he says they were wrong too, but the money wasn't there at the time. The club thought they could keep on with it, austere recruitment strategy blueprint, and rinse and go again with someone new. It just hasn't worked. LRB says, obviously, yes, but I don't think it was a case of right or wrong. It just didn't seem possible at the time. We were selling assets. He's a great tactician and he's shown that. Hope to see him at the top level. We'll have to hope that Brighton Wright can demonstrate similar stuff next season. And Not Joe Healy says, he completely outclassed and outfought Brighton Wright on Sunday. It was obvious we needed to change shape to combat them moving to two up top. Carlos Corberan is the best tactician in the league for me and isn't even close, in my opinion. Worked magic with two teams with FL money. And my personal favourite, Michelle B, who said, who cares? It's history. Move on and focus on here and now. That's us told Michelle. Justin, I can kind of guess your answer to this one. And I think it's a fair point in the comments that maybe the circumstances weren't right at the time. But what do you think, Town, were wrong to kind of not try and convince Carlos? I mean, some people did point out that, you know, maybe his head was turned by Marinakis, the Forest and Olympiacos owner. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it all?
I mean, it's quite a sorry situation for it to have developed the way it did because of that incredible season of Huddersfield getting to the playoff final and how different it could have been had some decision-making in the playoff final been a little bit more stringent, to say the least. But at the same time, the money wasn't there to back Corbyn. It wasn't. I think what you've got to take into context here is there's no cash available. So could Corbyn have been backed? No. Right then, I'm an ambitious manager. I'm going to walk away then. And that's, by him. He's got his career that he needs to look after as well. I think because we as football supporters have emotional attachments to football clubs, I'm going to go on a whim here and say managers don't. It's their career. They want to earn money and be the very best that they can be. So therefore, if you don't have the money to bring in new recruits, then it's going to be a very difficult situation. And then you had the likes of Lewis O'Brien and Harry Toffolo get sold as well. It's a couple of your best players. And you're relying on a 30-something Danny Ward, who, in essence, is a bit of a cart horse now. He's a history of injury problems. What Corbyn got out of him that season was incredible. And therefore, he needed to move on, I think, for his betterment of his career. At the same time, though, I think what Huddersfield were wrong to do was hire an inexperienced coach in Danny Schofield, hire an absolute... I'm trying to say something without being libelous here about Mark Fotheringham, but you sort of get the idea in hiring him. You needed a safe pair of hands to guide you through it. Neil Warnock did that. Probably needed Neil Warnock for the rest of this season, to be honest with you, but obviously disagreements with the board were there and present. So I think it's just been a history of bad appointments and bad decision making that has made you reel the loss of a good manager. I can say the same about Derby and sort of Gary Rowett leaving, then Frank Lampard coming in, and it just being bad scenario after bad scenario because of you basically as an owner you're chasing a better time and it's just not going to be there because of how well that manager did.
Yeah, I think that's a very very nuanced way of saying it. I suppose when Carlos is kind of back, it puts everything in perspective. I do agree, like, the circumstances weren't right. The only thing I would say about Carlos, I completely understand this decision. I think what really kind of affected Town was the timing of it. It was very close.
Yeah.
Hindsight's never the best. I could kind of see why they went for Danny Schofield, and I think they were short to, even the announcement going back to it, it was kind of in the announcement that Carlos was leaving, and it wasn't completely clear that Danny Schofield was taking over permanently. So I think he was on a bit of a hiding to nothing. And like you say, sold Harry Toffolo, sold Lewis O'Brien, Levi Colwell wasn't going to return on loan. Mm-hmm. They were three of our best players. And it was just, apart from Nichols and Sauber Thomas, you could chuck in there as well. So, yeah, I don't. I do think that we're wrong to kind of not convince him or certainly, reinvest. Because, I think, we could have been certainly in a different situation. But yeah, I mean, like you say, Carlos is, unfortunately, as much as I love Town, as much as the people who listen to this love Town, like, Carlos has got to look after his career. I do think the timing was really bad, but, let's be honest, hand on heart, if I was in a job where I'd overachieved and, I had to do a similar output with less and it's just a bit unrealistic and I'd probably leave. So
I think, to be blunt, Huddersfield were fighting a losing battle that summer. If promotion wasn't achieved, players were going to have to be sold until the ownership situation was sorted. It took a year to get that sorted. And you've had to start again pretty much. And even then, like, you weren't able to recruit as extensively last summer. And again, that's probably why things are feel as raw as they do when Corbyn comes back in time, because he comes back with a cash-strapped West Brom team, peppered with really good individuals. But he's doing exactly the same thing he did at Huddersfield, where he is overachieving because of the situation that is at Albion at the moment, or was, I should say. I think it's more so because he's doing a good job elsewhere, and Huddersfield are still struggling.
Yeah. Well, nice and cheery from us as always. Why don't we take a break then? So we're approaching half time on this podcast. So if, like me, you nip down to the concourse on a match day and head to the bar for a refreshment while we have an ad break, don't forget you could go on to magicrockbrewing.com, enter our code AHTTC10 and get 10% off any online order that you do. You'll see it on the ticket at the bottom as well if you're watching on YouTube. So we're going to take a quick break. Justin and I will come back and we'll talk more about Huddersfield Town and this game on Saturday.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, so Justin, we did a little poll in this, which was getting the thoughts on the January signings, because they've not really shown, had the opportunity, maybe we should say. So four options for you here. Not including Brody Spencer, because he was recalled and he has been really good. But which of our January signings do you think you can make the biggest impact in the last nine games of the season? The winner was Radinho Bulka with 54.4% in our poll. Second place was Alex Matos with 37.8%. Reece Healy got 5.6%, and Bojan Radulovic got 2.2%. It's a bit of a tough one. I think Bulka has been, I think they're all maybe not had the best chance to show themselves, really. Justin, yeah, again, I appreciate you maybe don't follow us week in, week out, but who out of them's kind of caught your eye?
Well, Bulka's been the impressive one, because he's come in, he's settled nicely, and he's been part of a solid back line. I think it helps when you've got players like Mikael Hjelic and Matty Pearson, who are solid players, solid, dependable players, and therefore your back lines are going to be solid. So he seems to have fitted in quite nicely. I think the likes of Reece Healy, I mean, he's coming off the back of a pretty significant injury spell before going to Watford. Didn't really convince at Watford, and I'm sat here thinking, well, what kind of striker is he? What does he need? And so far, you know, he's three stars. He's not particularly been fantastic. I think it's going to take time for Radulovic to settle in, because he came from Finland, didn't he? He's got quite an interesting career path, but he came from Finland, where I imagine the standard isn't quite as high as it would be in the Championship, and he's coming in January. It's always a difficult time to settle when you're coming in from another country. So again, it's going to take him time. Alex Matos, again, is a player that I've enjoyed watching. I think he's got a lot of energy and a lot of poise in that midfield. And when you've got a midfield of, say, Jonathan Hogg, you need legs around him, and I think he's going to provide that. But I think, Bulk has been the most impressive, but I think the biggest turnaround has been the form of Jack Redoni and Sorba Thomas. I think that's been a key thing since sort of the close of the January window. They've been absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Not saying the January window was a catalyst for that, but just since the game since then, they've been really, really impressive.
Yeah, I think for me, Sorba's probably... I know Helix getting the headlines for the goals, but I think Sorba's the player of the season for me at the moment. He's been super impressive. I think coming on to the January signings for me, Bulka's, yeah, I think it does really help that we have someone who's not only quick, because I think, you know, for all the praise Helic and Pearson and Lees get, they aren't the quickest centre-backs. So I think having someone with a bit of pace really helps us out. But I just, Healy, I completely agree with what you're saying about Radulovic. I think he'll, you know, it's almost that classic, like, he needs to get on the weights in the summer and get used to it, and maybe we'll see a player. Healy's the one for me. I just think he has a good record. I know he didn't really convince at Watford, but he's not had a run. You know, he's still coming back from injury. And I just wonder if having someone else up there can really help Town. Like you say, they're going to have to be clinical. And I just think the criticisms for Town are that we can be a bit predictable. I think that's kind of what's cost us in the past. So, you know, Danny Ward, I think, is, you know what you're getting with him. I think he's a bit, I think he gets a bit more criticism than most sometimes. I know he's a striker who's meant to score goals, but I do think he works hard for the team. And as I've kind of said online, for me, his problem's been he's not really meant to be your main striker, but he's a good squad player for Town.
Yeah,
I think he contributes. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Matos, you kind of know what you're going to get. It's a question we got asked as well about Matos or Holgath. I think you don't need to play them two together. Matos is kind of a more young, quicker hog for me, so maybe you don't play them together. But, yeah, I think Bulker and Matos are more the obvious one, but I do wonder if Healy, maybe we're going to see something there. I mean, Justin, you said you didn't pull up many trees at Watford, but, you know, he did score off the bench quite a bit, didn't he?
Well, I think the thing with Healy is, you know, he had quite a significant ACL injury, which naturally as a forward, you lose a yard of pace or half a yard of pace, which you need, or it takes time to get that back. And I think, yeah, going to Watford where it's just a weird environment at Watford. Looking from the outside in, it's hard to tell exactly how happy players are at any given time. It just felt like with Healy, it was a bit of a random signing because it didn't feel like he was quite meant for a team who were meant to be chasing for promotion and have high expectation. Yeah. I think maybe coming to a Huddersfield where the expectation is lower and you can just go out and play and be yourself, that might have been a better environment for him to come into. But he is a good finisher. He's got a good track record at Toulouse in Ligue 1, or League 2 or whatever it was. And I will say this, I do think he's got some goals in between now and the end of the season, and some important goals, because he's a good finisher. But like you mentioned, if Huddersfield are a predictable outfit, is that going to help him? Does he need a playmaker in behind him, threading him balls through? Does he need a Danny Ward-like player to be a bit of a folly playing alongside? Or does he need delivery of Sorba Thomas from out wide? Often, I think three games is not enough of a sample size to really tell, especially in a team who have been quite goal-shy for the entire season. Is that going to change overnight? No, it's going to take time.
No, absolutely. And one player I want to get your opinion on, because he's a little bit Marmite, I think, for the Town fan base and kind of reporters. Delano Bergsorg, he scored that great goal at the weekend. What do you think of him as a player? Because I quite like him. I think he's a bit of a maverick in a good way.
Chaos, isn't it? It's chaos. And that's what I love about certain players. Hadji Wright at Coventry, I think, is a player. As soon as they embrace the chaos, and you embrace the chaos as a supporter, you learn to love it. I mean, Town fans will remember Theo Robinson. And he came to Derby and he was chaos. He was pure chaos, but I loved him. He was fantastic. It wasn't amazing. He wasn't a gifted footballer. But he was just, it was so difficult for opposition, and you didn't know what he was thinking. He didn't know what he was thinking. Therefore, opposition didn't know what he was thinking. And he became good players. And I think that's the same with Bergsorg. Similar type of player where you have no idea what's going to happen next. And Mark City, yeah, it can be frustrating at times. He has caught 7 goals this season. He has had a few injuries as well. And he's come over from is it Mainz, isn't it, in Germany. So it's going to be a difficult time. He's been playing for, let's be honest, a poor team as well. So if he gets the opportunity to impress under Brighton Wright, I think he could become a key player between now and the end of the season, because, let's be honest, international break comes in a couple of weeks. It's a mini season between now and the end of the campaign.
Yeah, you're spot on. I think that's it for me. I just don't think Town have many players who can score the goals that he scores. Yeah. I mention a lot of the time on the podcast, but that win we had away at Sunderland, he kind of takes it on the bounce and it goes through a player's legs. I just don't think any player would in our team would really attempt that or have the confidence to do that. So, like you say, it can work for and against you. But Justin, we're having a little bit of a short one, so I'll kind of ask you, going back to Rotherham, what is the best way to hurt this Rotherham side? Because being a pessimistic Town fan, I am a bit worried about Victor Johansson. I think I just can see the head like back pages. He has an absolute blinder against us. But what is the best way to hurt the Millers?
Play football. I'm sorry to joke about it, but they are a terrible, terrible team. I think if you play to your strengths, and I think with the likes of Caroma, Thomas, Bergsorg, if he's fit, there's pace to get in behind. They're a team who do not attract runners. And it's such a easy thing to say, but if you look at any of sort of replays of their goals, just simple runs undoes this defence. They don't pick up set pieces very well either. I know Johansson's a fantastic goalkeeper, a great shot stopper, but I think I would be surprised if I don't see Helik on the score sheet, because again, they don't pick up runners, they don't mark, they don't do anything a football team should do. I know it's really harsh criticism and really simple for me to say this, but yeah, it's the reason why they're bottom. It's the reason why they only have 19 points. It's the reason why they've conceded a heck of a lot of goals. They do not do the simple things, and you do the simple things, you will win. you will beat this Rotherham side with relative comfortability because they don't come at you. They don't come at you. They don't play to their strengths. They have no idea what's happening most of the time. And I think that's the key thing.
Well, with that in mind, then, we always finish on match predictions. What's your match prediction for this one?
I will edge towards a 2-0 Huddersfield win. I can't see Rotherham scoring. I can't see them losing 5-0 either. But I can't see Huddersfield not putting the ball in the back of the net in this game. I think Helix's going to score. And I'd be surprised if one of Thomas or Rodoni don't score because he's got that X factor. And it's going to be, it will be tight at times and it will be quite hairy at times. But when you've got someone like Rodoni, who's proven time and time again over the past 8 weeks how good he is, I think he's going to be a big difference maker.
I certainly hope so. I've gone for a 2-1 win for Town. For me, if they don't win this game, Town don't deserve to stay up, like you say. And I hate kind of criticising other teams, but they have been terrible. You've got to beat the team that's in front of you. I know it'll be a bit of a different contest at home, but they're just, you know, unfortunately for Rotherham, they're just not a championship side. They're not showing themselves to be a championship side. So Town have got to go there and beat them. And, you know, like you say, the mood changes because, you know, teams have got over the results. Town can't control the other results, but they can. All they have to do is win their games and should be all right. And if they don't win this, then they don't deserve to stay up. It's just
To reassure you, Brady, the last time they won on Boxing Day, as you say, they scored with a cross. They scored, that's quote-unquote, accidentally with that Cohen Bramwell cross against Middlesbrough. So if anything is going to undo this Huddersfield team, it's going to be themselves. You know, you take the games with them, you'll beat them.
Yes, but this, Justin, from following Huddersfield, they love to do things to themselves. Yeah. So, I don't know. I still think they'll have enough to win, but I think it'll be a lot closer than people think because Town never do things easy. Cautious optimism. Yeah, we'll leave it there. And yeah, who am I going? I think it's going to be a set. I think Pearson's had a bit of a rough time, particularly at West Brom game. So I just feel like he'll score because that's what Matt Pearson does. He'll love a game like this because it'll be a bit rough in places. And yeah, I think Danny Ward's going to probably get one as well. This feels like, another player who's got a lot of stick. I feel like he'll form a side as well. I feel like he'll be up for it. So we'll see. Well, we've both gone for a win. I think we'll leave it there because we'll let the game on Saturday do the talking. But Justin, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
Any podcast provider on YouTube as well at Second Tier Pod. I'm sure if Huddersfield fans don't know by now, they're under a rock. Just give it a search and feel free to rate us on socials.
Yeah, because obviously you hate Huddersfield and every single thing you do. That's why you've been on our podcast about 8 times now.
it's a complete disdain for every single Championship club ever to exist. So don't worry about that. Not just Huddersfield.
Exactly. Anyone can get it. That's why we love it. No, Justin, cheers for coming on. Thanks to everyone for listening. And thanks to Magic Rock, who sponsor us always. Tom and I will be back to preview the next game ahead of an exciting Good Friday against Coventry. Let's hope it's a good Friday for Town. So we'll leave it there. Ta-ta for now and up the Town.
So Town, play up. Bring the car back to Huddersfield.
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now by the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.